This is The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. Today's podcast is part two of the Roller Coaster Project with 8th grade Dan DeMarcus and joining this week, Nicole Whitecotton. This will be the last of the podcasts for this season as we as a school are heading into summer break and we're going to take a couple weeks off as well. And so when we get back from summer break in July, we will pick the podcast back up for season four of The Ignition Point. At this time, we join Dan DeMarcus, Nicole Whitecotton, and the entire 8th grade as they're working on their roller coaster project. And I think this will be a great opportunity to talk to another group of students about kind of their theming and this the teaser trailer that they were able to produce. And you've shown me some of those. They are excellent production, and you can really see the kids shining in that technology role. So let's find some more students.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to welcome now to the podcast Heidi and Lydia. And so were you guys in the same group?
No.
Okay, so different groups. And we were just talking with your teacher, Mr. D, about the teaser trailer and the theming of kind of your roller coaster and what you guys were thinking. So when you were thinking about that with your group, when you were doing that part of the project, what were some of the reasons behind the theme that you've went with? Or what was some of that discussion that took place?
So my group's Tafiti's Fury, so it's about Moana, so we wanted to incorporate like the beach and like water and like that kind of thing, but also like suspense and things like that. So that's how we chose like the music, and then we put like beachy like themes and like waves in there.
Nice.
Things like that.
My group is Arabian Nights, so it's a roller coaster based off of Aladdin. So and we wanted to make it feel like the riders were like riding a magic carpet. In the teaser trailer, the music was a whole new world from the movie Aladdin, and like the words that were like being like sung in the song, we tried to like incorporate like on one lyric was like on a magic carpet ride. So I really like took advantage of that and tried to like stay along the theme of Aladdin to make the like riders really want to do and ride, want to be experience our roller coaster.
Yeah. So when you guys were putting those teaser trailers together, what did you guys actually do the teaser trailers for your
yes.
group?
Yes.
So what were the programs that you guys used for that?
I used CapCut.
I used iMovie.
Okay.
Just because I was more familiar with that.
Okay, yeah. That was going to be my next question is why'd you choose that? So why'd you choose CapCut?
I've just used it before and I knew how to like work it.
Yeah, same with me. That's why I used iMovie because I'm familiar with that, so I didn't have to like relearn anything, so I could do that easily.
That's awesome. And so what were there any kind of discussions in your group? You guys talked about what your final piece was, but was there any kind of discussion in there of other ideas and this is what you landed on, or was everybody just kind of on that page from the beginning?
My group thought about doing Avatar, the Way of the Water. So we already wanted to have like some kind of water theme to it.
Okay.
But then we were just like, Moana is cooler.
Nice. What about you, Lydia?
It kind of took a while to come up with the theme. And so we just like stumbled upon Aladdin, which we really thought was a good idea.
Yeah.
So
I told them to do.
Yeah, we got some help with some from other groups because we were kind of like stumped. So we had some ideas from other people and we like chose from that of what we liked best, which was Aladdin.
That's very cool. Very cool conversations and that happened. So as you're looking at kind of that documentary component, is that your roles in your group? So when you're looking at that documentary component, how has that gone? What was some of the challenges you faced in that?
So for like the documentary, we just like what I've been doing is like periodically like taking videos of us working on the roller coaster and like taking videos of the roller coaster like in operation, we actually just filmed our videos where we like introduced ourselves and said our names in what roles we are, which is good for the documentary because the viewers can like know who we are and like who's behind the roller coaster, which I think is like the purpose of making the film is to show kind of like the behind the scenes. So that's really what I've been working on, trying to like incorporate that.
Very cool.
Yeah, we have like a lot of like time lapses and things like that, just showing us like working, and then we have like our introductions, like telling people what our jobs are, and like describing what how a roller coaster works and like how we came up with the idea.
All right, and we're kind of in the home stretch here. Deadline is approaching, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
You got any nerves about getting all this done? Or?
Yeah,
I think I have like I'm kind of like. I mean, I know our roller coaster works, but sometimes it'll like fall off the track if it's like unstable. So I'm kind of like have some nerves that maybe that'll happen on the like test day. So
yeah, because you only have so many opportunities.
Yeah,
right?
We only have 3 tries, and you get extra points if you get it right on the first try.
Okay.
Our team started over about 3 days ago because we tried to use Manila Folder originally, but our roller coaster just was not very sturdy. So now we switched to foam track, and we're like pretty far along, but like it's just hard to like stabilize and things like that.
All right, well, good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
All right, so we've taken a pause from Mr. D and we've switched over to Nicole Whitecotton. So Nicole teaches the other side of the eighth grade, and Dan was talking about some of the integration of the robber baron idea, which is what you're talking about in the ELA component.
Yeah.
And so what is this integration like for you? Because this is a really heavy math and science, you know, project.
Yeah.
And it's primarily through that lens of math and science.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the connections that you're able to bring in from the ELA side that kind of keeps this interconnectedness and the, you know, that overarching theme happening in eighth grade?
A lot of what we're doing, though, like, I think that you're talking about humanities more than just ELA.
Absolutely.
But we do some concepts from the industrial period in America that have to do with monopolizing and like the trust building and then like the government having to step in and regulate businesses and things like that. And so the way that it's correlating a little bit is that we are able to look at, and this is something Dan developed that just fit right into it, is the Coaster Depot. And so by having a monopoly on all of the supplies, he is actually can unfairly charge them. And so it's a concept that, and so today they're actually having a debate about whether certain industrialists were robber barons or captains of industry. We're doing that this afternoon.
Yeah.
And so what's the difference, right? Well, you could identify any of the industrialists as one or the other. With one of our students would say, with the exception of hers, because hers was so good that you cannot find anything bad about him.
Okay.
But
well, it'll be interesting how that debate goes.
Yeah, it's interesting. But we are slowly every year learning how to integrate these two projects even more. So as we develop the eighth grade curriculum, and Dan and I have spent more and more time together, we are able to communicate more and build these big projects into something that is meaningful and that the kids can connect and build those dendrites to hook that information. It's so much more meaningful whenever they experience the effects of a monopoly on their own project and then talk about how that impacted the industrial period.
And really, you know, the kids went up to Dollywood. They got to, you know, to go to Dollywood. You're having to drive through Pigeon Forge, you know, Sevierville area, and realizing that that area looks the way it does because of, I mean, historically, you would say people that have done really well to that community, but they've made a lot of money on the backs of people in that community too to do that, right?
Right.
And so that kind of conversation, it still applies, even though it's a different time period whenever kind of that was developing, as opposed to what you're talking about of some of those captains of industry. But it's still the same. It's still the same thing of the capitalist idea is that if you can figure out how to make money, then you can make money. But sometimes you might be considered historically maybe on the other side of that conversation.
Exactly. Like, nobody in the South is going to call Dolly a robber baron, okay?
And I would not either, just
nobody,
for
right?
You know,
Queen Dolly all the way. But whenever we look at, I mean, if you look specifically at Dolly Parton, she brought life to a community
Absolutely.
That was in poverty and was lowly, had a very low education rate.
Yes.
And she brought the ability to have better education, and she brought those that tourist money into East Tennessee, and that's powerful. However, we also have all of the tourist traps that can cheapen the experience and are capitalizing on the fact that Dolly brought that industry here. So if you were to look for bad things that happened through Dolly's efforts, you could possibly try to argue that she was a robber baron. She is a robber baron. However, you would not win.
Definitely not in the South.
You would not win in that debate. No, you would not.
Well, and I think that's part of that conversation for kids to be able to think through, like, there's positives and negatives to these people that we look at. And we get kind of roped into this idea of them. And sometimes that idea is reality, and sometimes that idea is not reality. And in reality, I think it would be some of these individuals we needed at particular times. Like you said, the what she did to impact the community in a positive way was huge. And I think historically would look back and say, man, without some of what her efforts were, the community would not be the way it is today, and the positive sides of that. With the positives comes negative. We know that. And it's okay to say that with positive comes negative. And historically, to be able to analyze that, I love our kids being able to do that, to be able to take a person that they may have heard only positive things and say, was there any negative going on here? It's not bad to say, was there negative going on? And so, and it's okay to say they made a lot of money doing it. You know, like, that's not a bad thing to say. They
people
figured
like
something
Carnegie
out and made
and
money.
People like Carnegie and Rockefeller, who are, and Vanderbilt, who, I mean, here in the South, Vanderbilt is like immediately, like, you're like, you love to visit the Biltmore, but whenever you look at some of his business practices, it's like, okay, without him, we would not have all of the benefits of what happened with the railroad industry. But with him, we also experienced some pretty sticky situations. And so them being able to kind of debate that and have to take a side. Like, I forced them to take a side on those. But then the class as a whole gets to assess, you know, that this person can be seen through either lens.
Which is really the impact of humanities as a whole, right? Being able to look and think critically and come up with your own understanding based on the research you've been able to do, based on conversations with others on other opposing sides. That's what we want, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
All right, I've got Dan back in the podcast here. He was working with students out there on the type of train, which is marble, right?
That's a marble.
So great conversation there with both students looking at how they were doing their documentary, but also with your partner in this, being Nicole Whitecotton, and some of the humanities perspective that's kind of coming in and where you guys are trying to do that. We were talking about capitalism and robber barons and all of that, which we've talked about a little bit with the train depot or the
coaster
depot. Part of the project. So you've got kids now. I think we were discussing that they're building, they're designing. You've got your documentary stuff happening. So, you know, what's going on in the project then on as far as the kind of standard side, educational side of what's going on with their projects?
So that's something I forgot to mention. The reason we went to Dollywood is because Dollywood already has a Science in the Park curriculum. And when we looked at that, it's all physics standards based. So every roller coaster at Dollywood, they have all the schematics for it. And you can actually go onto the Dollywood website and download it, which is what I did before we went to Dollywood. I debated on whether or not the student should be doing all those calculations at Dollywood. And I obviously decided not to do that because that would have involved carrying clipboards around the park. Still could have been done. But what I decided was when we came back the next day in the classroom is when they looked at the, I think it was the Wild Eagle. That's the ride.
That is one of their rides.
Okay, so that was the first. So the very first problem that they looked at was calculating the energy and the forces involved in that ride. So that packet we actually keep here in the classroom, and so we've revisited that throughout this whole project. So there are days where the kids will come in and they'll be like, "Are we building roller coasters today?" And I'll say, "No, we're actually doing the physics calculations." And so that's been a component of this project that I like to, you know, balance so that they're not just coming in every day and creating, but they're also doing all the physics standards. And so we've gone through the Dollywood Science in the Park packet, and we still have two more roller coasters to explore. And those are based on higher level physics. So the Science in the Park packet is laid out perfectly where it advances as you go. And so the Dragonflyer is the next one that they're going to do. And that has pretty much every physics standard that we are using for this project. And so they'll be able to go through those calculations hopefully with ease and prove that they've learned all those physics concepts during this project.
And so how do they translate that then into their own personal roller coaster that they've been working on?
Right. So part of the scoring criteria. So this will culminate with what we call test day, where they actually drop the marble and they are timed how long the marble takes to complete the track. Whether it successfully completes the track, they'll have three attempts, and they'll get bonus points if it completes it the first try. They'll get bonus points if it completes it all three tries based on the consistency of the build. But then what they're actually working on, some of the teams today, are the schematic drawing, kind of like a blueprint, where they have to label all of the ride locations on what they've built, and they have to have the calculations of how much potential energy is here, what's the velocity of the marble at this very moment in the track, what's the amount of kinetic energy. They have trick components, so that was another thing in the beginning as we looked at all the various tricks or ride components on a typical roller coaster. And so they tried to implement some of those into their design. And so they do have to have a color-coded schematic drawing or digital image of their actual roller coaster and have it all labeled with what's the energy, what energy components, like how much potential energy is at this very moment here on this ride.
So, and is there a person in each group that's more responsible for that component?
So that's a great question. Throughout this whole project, there are people who are more responsible for each part of this whole project. But since this is a way to assess these physics standards, all team members have to be able to calculate the energy at those points. So it's kind
I
of
think
our
this
way
would be,
to...
Yeah, it'd be a nice point to maybe interview a couple of kids about that component of the actual calculation side of it. I know we're getting ready to lose them because they're getting ready to go to Related Arts, I think. So let's try to do that real quick, and then we'll finish the interview.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to welcome now to the podcast Claire and Luke. And I was just talking to your teacher, Mr. D, about the physics component of this project and the calculations that you're having to do. What's that process been like of learning that side of the roller coaster and just the science component of potential energy and kinetic energy and all of that?
I think it's been really interesting because you get to integrate math and physics into something tangible in real life. You don't get to really do that in other projects.
Okay. And so, and you're using real life scenarios. He was talking about the packet that you guys have been working on with the Dollywood stuff. Thinking about the actual ride that you were able to ride when you were at Dollywood and then having to calculate, the force components and that sort of stuff. What was that like? Was that kind of interesting to do?
Well, we didn't really do that much of the packet yet. Well, at least my group hasn't. But before we started this project, I didn't even really realize that you could, calculate these sort of things.
Yeah.
It didn't even come to mind. Maybe if I, actually thought about it, sure, you could calculate velocity. But I didn't really think about it before.
Yeah. So it's been a little interesting way to think about then roller coasters. And it'll probably change a little bit about the way you think about roller coasters in the future as you experience them, because you'll have all this knowledge of you can actually calculate the force here. You can actually calculate the kinetic energy or the potential energy here. So as your group has done some of this, and I know you're kind of starting some of this even today, what's that been like as a group?
Well, I'm really the only one in my group who actually does the math stuff. I was kind of forced into my role as ISM because I was the only one can, like, I was, like, the best at math, and okay. they didn't want to be the ISM. But it's fine being the ISM.
All right. What about you, Luke?
I'm also an ISM, but because my group is smaller, I also took a role as a lead construction officer.
Okay.
So I could basically I was calculating just what we were using.
Yeah. And then also the physics side of it. Have you guys gotten into that part of your project yet?
We got assigned it today. My team hasn't quite gotten into it because we were finishing up building.
All right. Well, it'll be exciting to see what you guys are able to produce as your final product then and how you label your track. I think you've got to do some color coding on your labels and identify all that. At least it's coming. If you don't know that, it's going to happen.
Yeah, we did not know that.
Okay. So it'll be interesting to see how that all turns out. So thank you guys for sitting down. So we're going to come back to Mr. D now and look at kind of the final product. What are the kids still trying to calculate, and what are some of the lessons you've seen kids learn as they've looked at applying the math formulas, as they've looked at applying even the technology components, the digital components? And you were just talking to me about, like, some of that initial formula that you use in the scoring that you give to them at the very beginning, whether they've really taken time to calculate that and see how this one thing here affects the other thing and at what degree it affects that.
Right. Yeah, and that's one thing I would say at the end of all this, or probably within the last few days of them finalizing their building, they really look at the math in the formula and they realize that they can add more track to their roller coasters. And I'm just looking at all of our life skills, and one team comes to mind, and they are like the definition of perseverance, because the way they built their roller coaster from the very beginning is they didn't use a good construction model. So they used duct tape, and you could tell they hadn't used duct tape a whole lot probably in their lives, and so it wasn't really sturdy. They'd come in each morning and it had fallen over, and so they were really trying to problem solve, but they got frustrated. So after a little bit of consulting with them, I gave them a few tips, and they have persevered, and right now their roller coaster, I think, has a chance to have the longest ride, which in turn would be the highest score. And I think they were down in the first week, they were really discouraged, but they persevered, and they actually looked at that scoring criteria, and they started to realize they were one of the first ones to figure out that if they get 10 points on their scoring criteria for every second that the marble is moving, and so they figured out that they could spend more and not be penalized as much as some of the other teams thought they'd be penalized, because the construction cost is a separate formula. And so they are they're really showing that life skill of perseverance and flexibility, because that's the other thing, is they all had to work together. And some of the teams, it's more evident that maybe only one person or two people on the team are doing the building, but all four members of that team have all been putting their hands into the building process. So, this all culminates next week with the testing day, where every team will take their turn, and it's, they're all on stage. So, like, every team will watch each team test, and it's a really exciting moment. I mean, there's anxiety, a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry. I love, though, the fact that every team's kind of cheering for everybody else too. I mean, it is somewhat of a competition, because there's a lot of that banter that goes on during the building days where, you know, they're always looking at everybody else's designs and roller coasters, and they like to say that theirs is gonna win, but I think in the end when they all celebrate everybody's accomplishments and see, you know, how much they learn, but also how successful these projects are at the end, it's a really neat moment. That'll be next week.
That'll be cool. I'm excited to see their culmination point and hear their stories as they reflect on it. It's been great sitting down. You know, we'll see what the audio actually sounds like. You've never done it like this before with being in the classroom. There's been a lot of things happening around us.
And yeah, so, hopefully it works.
Setting down a lot of different kids at times too. So we'll see what this comes out like. But thank you so much for letting me come in here and
my
record.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This has been The Ignition Point, Clayton Bradley Academy's podcast, where every day we work to help students excel through critical thinking, problem solving, collaboration, and use of our lifelong guidelines and life skills. We hope you enjoyed season 3 of The Ignition Point, and as we head off into summer to enjoy a couple weeks of vacation, we hope that you also find time to rest, relax, and refresh, and be ready for the next school year. If you want to find out more about our school, you can find us on the website, www.claytonbradleyacademy.org, social media sites at CBA STEM or at Clayton Bradley Academy. We hope you have a wonderful day.